This week we've heard some of the horrific stories of sexual abuse of children in religious institutions in our country. I'm sure as we've all heard snippets through the media, we've been shocked and horrified and saddened. One kind of poignant moment for me was I was in my car listening to 702 and Wendy Harmer, the disc jockey, was talking to an ABC reporter who's been covering the Royal Commission for 5 years. And she was telling about the day and the findings. And then at the end of the interview, Wendy Harmer asked the reporter, "How have you found, personally, reporting this? This being your job for the last 5 years?" And the reporter started and then fell apart on air and broke down, obviously traumatised by what she had seen and heard in the court. I can't imagine what it must be like for these survivors of abuse and for their families, and we cannot imagine now that just because the Royal Commission has happened, that there are no current cases of sexual abuse in churches. What has happened is unbelievable and tragic and evil, and will be a topic of conversation as we seek to witness to the good news of Jesus. How we might do that, I think we'll have to think about. But for one thing this morning, can I just draw your attention to something Jesus said? It's from Luke chapter 17. Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause people to stumble are bound to come. But woe to anyone through whom they come. It would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. So watch yourselves." And then Jesus goes on to say, "If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day and 7 times come back to you saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive them." There's a few things to highlight in this passage. Of course, there's a stern warning that Jesus gives to anyone who causes someone to stumble. But also, can I draw your attention to what Jesus says about forgiveness? What I'm choosing to highlight here is not the extent of forgiveness, that you would even forgive someone 7 times in a day. But please be aware of the condition of forgiveness. Is forgiveness unconditional? No. If they repent, forgive them. Is forgiveness for Christians unconditional? No. We might reflect, is God's forgiveness unconditional? Will God forgive the unrepentant? No. Jesus' message is repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And so what we might say to people who have been profoundly hurt is not to force upon them an unconditional forgiveness. What I'm going to do now is to pray for survivors, for their confusion, for their anger, for our confusion and for our anger. And look, one part of the prayer, I'm going to use a passage from Jeremiah, where Jeremiah complains to God, not simply that the wicked prosper. Jeremiah complains that why did God plant these people there? People who God's name is always on their lips, but they are far from, God is far from their hearts. Jeremiah is confused, not simply that the wicked are prospering, but God planted these people. So would you please pray with me? Father, we thank you that this Royal Commission has taken place, giving a voice to survivors of sexual abuse, shining the light on darkness and evil, and for the measures that will be suggested and hopefully implemented so that children are protected. would you please enable churches to respond with humility and to take further measures to protect children? We pray for these survivors and their families, particularly for those who shared their stories, and no doubt this whole process has stirred up fears and anger and frustration and sadness once again. Would you please open our ears and open our eyes and make our hearts more supportive to people who have been abused? We pray this so that they won't feel alone and so that they know that people care for them. Let us love them as you have loved us. Compassionate God, please protect the children who are currently suffering abuse. Bring them to a safe place. And we pray for survivors that you might restore their minds to trust, their hearts to love, free them to live again. You are always righteous, Lord. Whenever I bring a case before you, yet I would speak with you about your justice. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all the faithless live at ease? You have planted them and they have taken root. They grow and bear fruit. You are always on their lips, but far from their hearts. Drag them off like sheep to be butchered. Set them apart for the day of slaughter. Judge of the living and the dead, you are right to have holy anger against sex offenders. We too are angry, and yet we have fallen short of your glory. We too are sinners. So how much greater and purer must your anger be? And yet you take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but invite people to turn from their wicked ways and live. So we would ask that these offenders repent, so that they would escape everlasting destruction. And we would ask that they would repent, so that the abuse would stop as well. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.